Shameless.
Attic name, Shameless. It was funny. I walked over to get a cup of coffee, and the meeting is on maintaining freedom and responsibility. And I looked at my watch, it was like 4:33. I was like, well, maybe I wasn't the right guy to ask. And he was supposed to start at 4:30. It was funny. You know, I saw the basic tax and it works, and I was like, man, maybe I should have read this stuff before I came over here. I was thinking about it this morning. But as I was walking through the hall, first of all, they've done a fabulous job on the convention center, man. It's great. It looks really nice. And as I was walking through the halls and thinking about the fellowship, I thought about, look at all these different types of people, man. We got all different types of clothes on, and we, you know, we have different beliefs and different opinions, and you know, we got country guys and we got city guys, we got white guys, we got black guys, we got young guys, we got old guys, we got young girls, you know, we got big bell bottoms, we got platform shoes, we got all kinds of stuff. Neon green, you know, we got everything going on. Right? The fellowship's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be. And first of all, I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to come and share. And it was funny because a girl that called me, she said, well, we want you to speak on the sixth and the seventh tradition, but we're not really going to call it the sixth and the seventh tradition because people don't come to tradition meetings. Right? You know, and a lot of times it's for good reason. You know, you come to a tradition meeting and it's like somebody's, well, you know, the first tradition states, and, you know, it gets kind of dry and, you know, it gets real analytical. But remembering ultimately that your traditions are about spirituality. It's about spiritual relationship and how we spiritually relate to ourselves and how we relate to other people. And, you know, the idea of tradition in itself is something that we choose to do. It doesn't say the 12 laws of NA. Says tradition, something that we consciously choose to participate in, you know? And fortunately for us, some people made the mistakes and suffered the consequences and learned some of these things and built a solid spiritual foundation for the fellowship. I'm going to talk a little bit about the first five to get to the sixth. And the sixth is really about maintaining focus and commitment and determination. You know why? Because what I see happen is that, and it's usually not the newer people, it's the people that get some clean time. They get some clean time and like they've got their nut, you know, they got their itch scratched, that, you know, they got clean and they're staying clean and they got a little life and they're doing okay. And now we want to, you know, make NA about making money, or, you know, we lose the focus, you know. In the beginning, the people that are hungry and that really want to get the message, they're listening and they're focused and they're like, I need what you guys have. But those of us, you know, we get around, we get soft a little bit and we forget how serious and how sacred that is. And I think the traditions really keep us focused on, this is life and death. There are lives at stake here. And even though I haven't used drugs in a long time and I've been coming to meetings for years and years and years, my life is still at stake too, just like the new person coming in, you know? And what the first tradition talks about, and, you know, that's why I said that, is that unity is defined as singleness of purpose. Purpose. We don't have to believe the same things. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to come from the same places. We don't have to have the same ideas. But our commitment is to what is best for all of us, because all of our lives are at stake. It's all contingent on that. You know, what's ultimately best for the fellowship is ultimately best for the addict. You know, that sense of unconditional love. You know, and I have to choose. That's the thing. Membership is a choice. Coming to a meeting isn't necessarily choosing membership. A long time ago in the city up on Greenmont Avenue, I heard this girl say, intellectually, I'm a member when I say I am, but spiritually, I'm a member when I act like I am. You know? When I participate, you know what I got to do is I got to give. And all that came from personal recovery. It was like, you guys gave me hope. You gave me love. You gave me honesty. I'd lost the ability to tell the truth when I got here. And you guys gave me that. And so out of gratitude for that, I say, wait a minute. Out of the grace that I've received from this fellowship, I need to choose to try to do what's best for the fellowship as a whole. So maybe my opinions and what I want and what I think isn't necessarily, you know, even if it's right, doesn't mean that I should treat other people wrongly because of it. See, years ago when I used to go to meetings, like somebody would say they were sober or call themselves an alcoholic, and people would lambaste them. Man, they would just jam them. They would shame them in a meeting. They come out of treatment. They got 12 days clean. You know, they don't know if they're, you know, when they say dual addicted, cross injected, they don't know what the hell they are. Right? They don't. Yeah, they're like, you know, I'm alcoholic, drug addict, feeling dick. You know, they're saying all kinds of stuff. You're looking at them like, damn, how much did that cost you? But we were more in conflict with the principals than they were because they were ignorant. We thought we knew something. We got righteous on them and made them look bad and separated them from the fellowship because we thought we were standing up for the traditions. That's a violation of the traditions. What was a violation of the traditions was that we didn't embrace that person and say, you know, the reason that we say addict, the reason that we say clean is a sense of unity. It's a sense of identification. Because when somebody goes to a meeting and they hear addict, we want them to understand what that means. So the first tradition is really about embracing and caring and bringing people in, trying to increase. You know, you look at the symbol and it talks about increasing the base of the fellowship. You know, more and more and more access for people. Right? That's our goal. That's our goal. Not to exclude people, but to bring them in and embrace them and make them feel a part of, to help them feel loved. You know, that's what the first tradition is talking about. And I don't know about you guys, you know, when you go to your hometown meetings and you see the same people all the time and the same people share all the time and, you know, you start going, this, well, he just shut up, that he going to share again, and they go to say, you know what I mean? It's hard not to, your mind starts getting closed, you know, that old trick, you got to close your eyes and listen to the messenger and, you know, you got to work through all that stuff. Let's face it, Narcotics Anonymous is full of self-centered, fragmented personalities, people that come in here with a lot of emotional garbage and damage and desperation, and you know, and it takes work to put the principles into practice. And when I come to a convention, especially when I go to the World Convention and I see people that are speaking in Japanese and they can't speak English, and I hug them, that puts it all in perspective. I remember what it is that I'm here for. That my pettiness and my smallness and my personality stuff is not the issue. The issue here is that people loved me in spite of myself because I was not a very likable, lovable person when I got here. There was only two words came out of my mouth. F and MF. Those were the only two things I knew how to say. That's everybody was one, either one or the other, you know. And so I made it hard because I was scared, man. I made it hard for people to love me, much less like me. You know, but people love me in spite of myself. And that's what the first tradition is talking about, is that we need to stay committed to the singleness of purpose, which is to stay clean and to help addicts like us gain recovery. That's the singleness of purpose. And that's not my words. That's stuff that people wrote down and shared with me. In the second tradition, you know, talks about how we go about coming to what those conclusions are. And we do that together. We do that together. We do that by inviting in this spiritual consciousness, by saying, look, help us to do the right thing. Help me to get my self-seeking and my ego and my self-centeredness out of the way. Help me to be a part of the solution. Please, man, because my self-seeking and, you know, it's done nothing but destroyed my life. Help me to come in here and love other people and give some of what was given to me. You know? And to participate equally with everybody. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially with some clean time. Because, like in my home group, and I'm guilty. My home group, you know, I've been going for years and years, and na-na-na-na-na, car studied, now I can recite it verbatim. some guys with 60 days comes in and starts, I'm like, you know, I want to say, but I have to remember myself. Treat this person with respect and equaling and listen to what they had to say, because, you know, in spite of myself, I don't have all the answers, even though I'd like to think I do most of the time, you know? And the second step, you know, that group conscience, you know, seeking that ultimate authority. And it says may express, you know? So that means that we have to allow it to happen, because I've self-willed consciences. You know, I'm a very dominating, arrogant, egotistical, this ain't a sixth step. I mean, sixth step means, so I won't lay all that out on the table. But, and dominated and self-willed means, you know, and consciences. And I've found that alienates people, you know. That makes people feel apart from instead of a part of. And that's not what I want to do, you know. And, the third tradition. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And the beautiful thing about that is I'm the only one that can define desire. I was just talking to a guy out here who's been coming around for a while, and in and out of the rooms. He had like 18, 19 months or whatever. Just coming back off a relapse. He got a day clean today, you know. And I was telling him, you better go up there tonight and get that damn book and do that thing. And, you know, what these other people saying, these same people. I said, man, that's not it. That's not, you know, those are just people. That's not what's important. You have to define if you have the desire. Because I didn't get clean the first time I came to meetings, you know. That definition is left to me. The only requirement for membership is the desire. And I'm the only one that can decide whether I have it or not. Man, is that an act of, you know, spirituality or what? Because, you know, the deal is that if we started making up exclusions for membership, there'd be nobody in meetings because everybody would be excluded. We'd all exclude each other. Right? No men, no women, no black guys, no white guys. You can't wear high heels. You can't wear tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying? We'd all be, rooms would be empty. Why? Because I'm the great I am. Everybody needs to be exactly like me, or they're nobody. You know what I'm saying? That's that mentality, that self-centeredness, that obsession with fear and power and all that craziness. And fortunately, there's a higher power, you know, that concept that says, let the individual choose. It's just like, and this is a controversial thing, you've been hearing about it for years, about people drinking meth and coming to meetings and. You know, some guy was saying something. I said, God bless him. Give him a hug, man. Love him. If he comes to that place, he'll have to get honest whether he's got 60 days clean in his mind or your mind. What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference. It's not affecting my life. Hug him and just encourage him to keep coming back. And God bless him, if he gets off that meth, maybe he'll, you know, make some decision later on. That's not my place to say, you know. It's a complicated thing. It's a very sensitive issue, but always trying to keep my strong-willed personality out of it and look to give, look to share, look to help, look to encourage. You know, that's what the traditions are talking about. About looking to make people feel like they can get clean in Narcotics Anonymous. You know? And for a long time we've used the traditions to exclude people and like try to get righteous on other people and try to be like, I know and you don't. I've heard it a zillion times in meetings and I've been guilty of doing it myself. And it's really spiritual immaturity. And see, really what the third tradition is about for those of us that got some clean time and those of us that have a little understanding is we're responsible for loving people in spite of themselves. We're responsible for setting the atmosphere of recovery so people can come in here and find hope. We're the ones that are responsible for that. So when they come in here and he's got a day clean and he's struggling and relapsing and trying to get it together again, that he feels loved and cared about and that there's hope here for him. And when we start thinking, you know, we got to exclude people because we're so spiritual, we're the ones that are missing the point. We're the ones that are in conflict. And I don't ever want to become one of those people. I don't want to be clean so long and think that I know so much that I forget what it's like to need to use drugs. Because anybody had a year clean when I got clean never used drugs like I used drugs. That's what I said. He don't know what it's like to feel like where I'm at. And they love me in spite of myself. So being on the other side of the fence, I realize that third tradition is saying, just love these people, man. Help them. You know, the group autonomy thing in the fourth tradition is fabulous, just because I went to this meeting and somebody was talking to me about this Search for Serenity meeting down in Baltimore. Hooting, hollering, screaming, beating on the table, all kinds of, keep going, just, going off sideways, man. And that's their thing. They love it. You know what I mean? I was like, damn, I went in there the first time. I was like, but that's, you know, I mean, that's what autonomy is talking about. Groups having personalities, about being able to do their thing. You know, my home group, we only read a couple things. There's all this analytical stuff. But the point is that the group has some freedom. Ultimately, the freedom comes from being responsible to the steps and the traditions. That's where the freedom comes from. But it says we all don't have to be the same. All the meetings don't have to be the same. We don't have to read all the stuff. I went to a meeting in Indianapolis. They didn't read nothing. This is an NA meeting, and let's get going. Anybody want to share? And I had a couple of years. I was like, this ain't the way you do it. This ain't in Baltimore. This is the way you do it is back in Baltimore. Let me show y'all how it's supposed to be done. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. Right? Just like, some meetings let people share that are high. Some people don't. You know, I mean, there's some flexibility and some freedom, and the group autonomy means that as members, we come in there, we share the responsibility for setting that atmosphere of how to carry the message about. You know, and that's what leads to the fit tradition, our primary purpose. In the basic text, the last time I read it, which wasn't too long ago, really, says that the message of Narcotics Anonymous is that an addict, any addict. And you see, we go to the other extreme too. I met this girl from New York and she said, you know, I went to an NA meeting and I felt like because I never used heroin that I didn't fit in. And I felt sad for her. I really did. Because I felt like we were excluding her. You know? Because, you know, we're all big, bad, gun-slinging dope fiends. You know, we got to be that. Right? So she was like excluded. She didn't feel like she fit in because any addict, whether it's prescription drugs, alcohol, heroin, methadone, pot, what doesn't matter, any addict can stop using. Right? You must have like rent to pay or something. Come and get him out of the front row. Damn, that's some serious stuff there. that was somebody saying like maintaining freedom and response. I said, man, that's heavy. I don't know, that's some heavy stuff. So, you know, the fit tradition, like I said, it's been an addict, any addict. So they walked out, I busted them out, they had to leave. I do that to people, man. Lose the desire to use. Is that the miracle coming alive or what? Because I stopped using, but I didn't lose the desire to use and I went back to using. So just not using wasn't the miracle happening. It was the beginning of the miracle. But it wasn't the fulfillment of the miracle. Losing the desire to use. And do you remember that day? And if you haven't, hang in there because it's coming. Lose the desire to use, man. That brought tears to my eyes. It was 11 o'clock in the morning and I realized, damn, I hadn't thought about using and I've been up for 4 or 5 hours. And I had probably like 7 months clean at the time. Man, that was a freedom. But here's where it really comes together, and this is what I believe that I'm responsible to share about. And find a new way to live. That's when the miracle becomes fulfilled. That my relationship with myself, with others, with life, is based in honesty and trust and acceptance, forgiveness and humility. Well, my life is based in love. finding a new way to live, finding a new relationship with life, not self-destruction and self-hatred and self-disgust, because that's what I brought here. Finding a new way of life, joy, happiness, peace, faith, commitment, all these things that you guys gave me, all these principles that you shared with me. And that's why I'm here. Maintaining abstinence from drugs is not the solution to my problem. Obtaining abstinence from drugs so I can recover from the disease of addiction is the solution to my problem. And it took me a while to start to really understand what that meant. So, and the sixth tradition, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there about, you know, treatment centers and talking about, you know, affiliations. And I think simply, here he comes. You pay it? You wasn't trying to cop a short, was you? Huh? Your face is a little red, but I'm just warning. The sixth tradition, I think, is talking about simply keeping our focus spiritual in nature. The solution to our problem is spiritual, and that we get defocused and deterred on trying to make more money, trying to look good, trying to sound good. And I don't mean, I believe the traditions were written for the groups and the fellowship. Now, in my personal recovery, it holds true too, because when I'm more worried about looking good and how much money I got in my pocket than I am about my spiritual relationship with my higher power, I'm missing the point. And so that's my personal recovery, and the same holds true for the fellowship. You know, when we start being more concerned about how many people were getting into meetings instead of the quality of recovery that we're providing in the meetings. You know, and so when we start endorsing, financing, or lending the NA name, right, we don't need to do that. We might want to because of, you know, and it tells you, money, property, and prestige, some very specific things that lead us to wanting to do that, you know. But we don't need to, because spirituality is what we're here for. That's the essence of what Narcotics Anonymous is. And may we never forget that. You know, that's what gets addicts clean, and that's what keeps addicts clean. And no matter how long we get clean, no matter how good we feel, no matter what we think we obtain, let us never forget that our lives are based on that very fact. That love is the only power greater than the self-destructive nightmare that I brought here with me. I don't know about you, but I know that's true for me. And I am so grateful for that. And what the seventh tradition talks about, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, is the responsibility that we have as members to make sure that this fellowship exists and sustains itself and provides the opportunity for those addicts coming in here wanting to get clean. That those of us that have been shown the grace, that have been blessed with the opportunity to get clean in here, ultimately we're the ones that are responsible. You know, and of course it talks about monetary. It takes money to run the fellowship. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's true. You know, it takes money to run the fellowship. Is the fellowship about money? No. Is it about making money? No. But it's part of the equation, and we can't exclude it. It's not one or the other, and we have to deal with it in a responsible, spiritual manner. You know, we have to factor that in and say, okay, well, how do we deal with taking care of the money? We deal with it by us choosing to be responsible, by us choosing to pitch in, by us choosing to do our part, and not relegating that responsibility to somebody else because of the consequences. Because of the consequences. And that's really the deal. The consequences is that you get what you pay for. And I'm a believer, never seen it happen. You can't get something for nothing. And we take endorsements, we take money. I was in a meeting one time, and was a state senator or something came into the meeting, you know, and he was like, yeah, I really like this. You know, I'd like to make a donation to you guys. You know, I'd like to like get my campaign to help drug addicts. And you know, some people in the meeting, like, yeah, that's great. We need meat. You know, we need money. You know, we can barely pay our rent. Nah, 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 nah. And well, do you guys think you would mind like signing a little affidavit saying that I gave Narcotics Anonymous some money? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's always something. So maintaining responsibility leads to freedom. And I know that in my personal life. That's the deal. And in the fellowship, as long as we choose to be members spiritually, financially, responsibly, it's like, I don't know about you guys, but how many meetings in your area have been closed down or asked to leave because the members weren't responsible? They were disrespectful, didn't keep the place clean, didn't clean it up, and they asked them to go someplace else. So it wasn't that they weren't paying their rent, because my home group was asked to leave. It wasn't asked, it was told. Your time is up. At the end of the month, you got to go. Why? Because you guys don't respect the facility that you rent from us. You always leave it dirty, you throw cigarette butts out there, you're blasting your music, disrespecting the neighborhood, and they had this whole list of like 12 things. And an old starter kid that used to say, our goal is to leave it better than we found it. That's what it, you know, and that's what I was raised on. That's what I believe in, man. Gratitude and grace and doing more than I'm asked. Why? Because I reap the benefit. I'm the one that feels better. I'm the one that has a sense of cleanness and honesty and integrity and self-respect. And that's the only thing that keeps me from shooting dope. It's not about people's personalities. It's not about the pettiness. It's not about that. And I was telling this guy that I'm the one that's responsible for rising above it. I'm the one that has to do it. You know, you always hear in the 12th tradition, well, you got to place principles before personalities. But we're always talking about somebody else. We're always saying that to somebody else, like, you need to do that. It's talking about me. Hello, I'm the one that needs to place principles before personalities. Right? So it's like, I'm missing the point when it's coming out of my mouth. My membership in Narcotics Anonymous is the single most important thing in my life. And the reason it is because that membership has led me to a relationship with a higher power. It has given me a relationship with myself. It's given me the ability to love my children, my parents, respect people, treat them the way that I want to be treated. My membership has led me to all those things. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And I never, ever, ever want to take that for granted. I'm a guy that prays at night, God, please, help me have a grateful heart. And that's my half hour. I'm done. Thanks for listening. Thank you. He was getting ready to pull a sign on me.
No, I wasn't. I'd like to thank Seamus. That was really great. And our next speaker is Denise.
Thanks, Seamus. I'm an addict. My name's Denise.
Hey, Denise.
I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share, and I want to start out by saying, if you hear anything that I say today that's helpful to you or useful at all, it's probably because I either read it in our literature or somebody else told me. And if I say anything that you find offensive, that's probably something I figured out on my own. So just to, you know, clear everything up to start with. You know, I'm never mind doing a step or tradition workshop because, you know, there's usually this nice, small, intimate group that you can, like, make eye contact with and feel like you're a part of. Like, it's a real meeting rather than some large, intimidating sort of event. So I thank all of you guys for being here, and I'm glad for the people that aren't, too, actually. I'm much better at, you know, doing things behind the scenes and helping out do stuff than I am at speaking. I don't really love doing this too much, but Anyway, so I'm here to talk about what I know about the sixth and seventh tradition. And, you know, the whole thing about the sixth tradition always just seems so straightforward and easy to understand for me. It's like NA groups ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to related facilities or outside enterprise. You know, I never could see how that could be controversial. You know, that as a fellowship, what we're responsible for is to be here when anybody shows up and has a desire, and then anything that we do that distracts from that, you know, is clearly not what we need to be about. You know, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, if I had needed to conform to a whole, you know, set of standards that other people had come up with, you know, that a treatment center had come up with, or that, you know, some T-shirt company had come up with, or somebody else had come up with, I would have had a really hard time hanging out. What I found instead when I got to Narcotics Anonymous was people that knew what they were there about. They were at meetings to be helpful to me and to stay clean. And they extended themselves, you know, a spirit of fellowship and love to help me stay clean. And, you know, what I've found out, you know, I found out the most, you know, most of the things I know about any of the traditions by screwing up and noticing what doesn't work. And, you know, I had this personal experience with somebody that was even less experienced than I came to me and asked me about this thing that had to do with the sixth tradition. I said, oh, but of course you can't do that, and this is why, and blah, blah, blah. And, in his stupor, you know, and toxicity, I guess, he just, you know, he thought I was this wonderful, enlightened, spiritual person who knew all about the traditions. And so he spread it all around, like, if you need to know anything about the traditions, ask Denise, because she knows all about the traditions. You know, and so I had all these, you know, strange new people coming to me asking me could they do all this stuff, you know, and I didn't know, you know, but, and, you know, I wasn't about telling you that I didn't know how to do stuff either, you know, so I would find myself, you know, but I had gotten trained by a sponsor, like, not to let those kind of things get out of hand, so I'd find myself saying, oh, yeah, you definitely can't do this, or you can't do that, and then I'd have to say, you know, I'm sorry, that's a lie. Because really, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Why don't we get a book and we'll read the book and we'll see what it says about that, you know? And so consequently, you know, when somebody asks me to speak, that's what I do, is I go, like, read what the tradition says. And what our literature says about the sixth tradition is that it's about humility. You know, it's about noticing really who we are and what the limits are to who we are. You know, we aren't, you know, social workers and policemen, and we aren't we don't have the answers for everybody about everything. What we have is a solution about how to live a life free of drugs and how to find a new way to live. And that's really all we need to be about, that is sufficient. That's a sufficient reason for us to be, you know, and to take up the space that we take up, and to take up, you know, the time and energy that we take out of people's lives. Is, you know, it's worth that because we provide a valuable service to ourselves and other people in doing that. And you know, the sixth tradition is about having a realistic view of, you know, of myself as a member of NA and of it's what NA is. You know, NA is not a treatment center. You know, we're not attorneys, we're not whatever. And we do ourselves a disservice when we try to do that. When we give people legal advice, or we tell people, you know, how they can work shit out with their wife, you know, and that kind of stuff. We don't know how to do that. You know, it always cracks me up when we have relationship workshops, or people come in a meeting and say, I'm having this problem in my relationship, and they're like 15 people that can't get along with anybody. They're like dying to tell you how to have a better relationship with your spouse. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know. The sixth tradition is about, you know, I don't need to know everybody else's answers. And Narcotics Anonymous doesn't need me to represent it as something that it isn't. Because what it is perfect in my life. You know, it's the only thing that I found that helps me not use drugs a day at a time. And, you know, if that, you know, clearly that's not an answer for some people. You know, if they don't have a problem not using, Narcotics Anonymous isn't the answer for them, and that's okay. You know, that's fine. It is, you know, it is the only answer that I found that works for me to not use. And the sixth tradition is about integrity, and, you know, in, you know, again, not making up shit about who we are, you know, and trying to be things that we aren't. And, you know, I guess I heard somebody say, it, you know, when I was first getting clean, I was at a convention, and I heard a speaker say that the 12 steps teach us how to stay clean and how to get a relationship with God, how to learn to, you know, to grow and to change, and that the 12 traditions teach us how to have relationships with other people, you know, how to have relationships with people in our home group and how to have relationships with people in our families. And I really believe that's true. You know, I've learned how to grow and change by working the steps in this fellowship, and I've learned how to have relationships with other people by following the suggestions and the spiritual principles that I've learned in the traditions from my sponsor as well. The seventh tradition is a lot less sexier. It doesn't have a whole lot of appeal for most people. And I understand that. You know, as a using addict, I was about just about anything that had anything to do with getting over. You know, any way that I could get you to do the work that I was responsible for, and then I could figure out a way to take credit for that, that was where I was, and that's what I was down for, you know. And the tradition that tells me that I need to be about being personally responsible and being self-supporting through my own contributions is not one I was interested in hearing a whole lot about. And, you know, I've learned over a period of time that self-support isn't a dirty word and isn't an ugly concept. You know, it is what gives our groups freedom and autonomy. And it's, I mean, I have a lot of gratitude today for the principles I've learned about in the seventh tradition. And just basically because I don't have to, you know, I'm responsible in my home group for providing an atmosphere of recovery and for making people there that show up there feel welcome. And that's a contribution I make to my home group, you know, and I'm responsible for making sure we pay our rent. And so I make financial contributions to my home group. And I'm responsible for making sure that we leave, you know, the room we meet in a better condition than we found it, or at least as, you know, as good a condition as we can with the tools we have available, so that we can continue to have a place to meet. And that's a contribution that I make to my home group. And as a woman, I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure there isn't a woman that comes to my home group that doesn't leave with phone numbers and leave feeling, you know, hugged and loved and welcome in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's a contribution I make to my home group. And all those are contributions that I make that enhance, you know, my view of Narcotics Anonymous. It makes me feel more positively about being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and it makes me feel more positively about being who I am, you know. And I didn't know how to do any of those things when I got here. You know, people very lovingly and very patiently taught me, you know, about contributions and about self-support. And, you know, I used to be, you know, the best contribution I had to make was, I was always pretty quick on my feet, and I could come, you know, I had, you know, some really good one-liner in response to almost anything anybody says, and that's one of my less attractive qualities today sometimes, but I had something to say about everything, you know, and that was when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, that was how I could feel good about myself, is I had an opinion about everything, And I mean, it didn't matter if I knew anything about it. Didn't matter if I had any experience with it. Didn't matter if I knew any, you know, the history or relevant information about it. If you brought up something, I had an opinion, you know. And today, you know, there are a lot of things I just don't have opinions about. You know, it's not that I'm, you know, trying not to or working at not having them. It's you know, part of the contribution I make in Narcotics Anonymous now is to keep my mouth shut. You know, that's a contribution I make. And there are a lot of people, I would thank them if they'd make that contribution. Yes. Thank you, please. You know, because I hear people, like, open their mouth and say, and, you know, you don't want to say anything in front, you know, part of the whole unity thing is I don't want to be the person that says, you're an idiot, shut up. You know, but they, you know, that, you know, I watch people alienate other people in meetings. And, you know, the only solution to that is to open my mouth and alienate them. You know, well, is that right? Well, not really, but, you know, I don't really like what I'm watching either. So, yeah, I've learned by continuing to come back, you know, and watch stuff change with me and change with other people, that self-support, you know, and declining outside contributions, neither one are quite as simple as they look initially. And and the main lesson, I think, in any of the traditions for me is that none of them are things that I can do well in a vacuum. You know, they're things that I have to do with other people. And that I need, you know, I need to look for help and guidance from other people on how to continue to grow and see things differently. You know, because, you know, how I see what self-support means, you know, as a member of NA is real different now than it was a year ago, and it's real different than it was 5 years ago. And, you know, part of my contribution, you know, the contribution that I try to make now today is that, you know, I don't disrespect anybody else, where anybody else is in the process with understanding, because I, you know, I've misinterpreted and misused a number of traditions in my time. And, you know, I'm not above doing that today, you know. And so, you know, it's one thing for me to talk to, you know, to me, one of the self-support contributions I make is I wait till after the meeting and I talk to somebody privately and I say, you know, what you did in the meeting today really isn't okay with me. And the reason why it isn't okay with me is I think it made these people feel uncomfortable and like they don't belong here. Or, I don't think it's okay because I think you're represented NA poorly or whatever. And I talk to them about, like, this is really how I see things. And I try to do that lovingly, you know, without hurting their feelings or without alienating them. But, you know, to me, that's an important contribution to what we do. Is it, you know, I don't think it's spiritual to walk away from something that's fucked up and act like it isn't. You know, I mean, to say, well, you know, this really isn't a problem because I'm going to be all spiritual about it and it's not, you know, I'm going to act like it isn't a problem. If it's a problem, you know, like, for example, you know, the main thing that, like, drives me wild that I feel called upon to comment on usually is, you know, we'll have this attractive young woman show up in one of our meetings. And inevitably, there'll be, like, five or six of our less experienced young men who'll want to try to be helpful to this young woman by giving her a ride or giving their numbers or, you know, whatever. And, yeah, as a rule, yeah, I'm just one of those kind of people that do what I can to kind of interfere with that. You know, like I walk between them and say, would you like a ride home from the meeting? Could I give you my number, dear? You know, like with my back to the man. And that hasn't really endeared me to some of our male members, but I don't really care. You know, it's like, that's a contribution I make, is Narcotics Anonymous meetings should be safe places for everybody. I mean, that works in the reverse, too. It's not okay for some attractive young man to show up to a meeting and have five women jump on him either. But, you know, NA meetings should be safe for everybody that shows up there. You know, they're not, you know, it's NA isn't a dating service, and it isn't, you know, a relationship fix, and it isn't a lot of other things. And so the contribution, you know, that's not okay with me. You know, it really bothers me to watch that. If I'd shown up at my first NA meeting and felt, you know, assaulted by five men, I don't know if I would have come back, you know. And so it's not okay with me for men to do that in my home group. And I don't feel like acting like it's not a problem is my responsibility. I feel like it's my responsibility to try to civilly, you know, and within reason, make it really clear that it's not okay to do that in my home group. It's not okay to do that to a woman at any meeting in front of me. And consequently, you know, I've watched the women in our area get closer. There are a lot of women that'll do that in my area now. You know, that it's not okay with them for you to try to make friends with some new woman. You know, there are plenty of women that go to our meetings that can give those women rides. And there are plenty of women that go to those meetings that can give women, new women, phone numbers. And they don't need numbers from men. You know, maybe 6 months from now they need a number from a man, but they don't need one now. And it's changed behavior. You know, I've watched behavior change in our area. I've watched specific men change the way they interact. And they've gone from being really pithy and hateful and, you know, who are you to get involved in this? And, you know, I was talking to her, you're rude to get in between us, you know, or whatever, to, you know, thank you for who you are. And that's, you know, that's one of the contributions I feel like I make to NA that I believe makes a difference, and it's made a difference in how I see myself and how I see our area and how I see my home group. And, you know, that's not about trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable or being disunified. That's about anonymity. You know, it's about safety for anybody that shows up and wants to be involved in NA. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sharon.